welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guests, yes, that's plural, today are Ann Hanley, the Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, and CC Chapman, an online marketing expert and creator of the online destination Digital Dads. They also co-authored a book called Content Rules, How to Create Killer Blogs, Podcasts, Videos, Ebooks, Webinars, and More. Wait, there is more. That engage customers and ignite your business. Okay, Ann and Cece, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, John.
I don't think that qualifies as the longest title, but it's up there. So you guys are in different cities, so you feel free to have different answers to these questions. But here's the big one that I want to know, and I want to set this up. Yours is not the first book that suggests content is important. Do we still need to make a case for content?
I sure think so, because you know, it's one of those things that we talk about in our presentations a lot, where we talk about, you know, content marketing is like sex in high school. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody's doing it really well.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's every time, you know, you would think that people would know this by now, but every time we talk to a crowd of people, every time I sit down with a new client, whatever it is, people still are mystified by content, even though, you know, we've been creating it our whole lives. But to do it right, it seems like people don't know it yet. And, you know, we want to make sure that people get it and actually go out and do it right. So, yeah, right. They do need it.
Right. I mean, I think that's exactly the point. You know, the notion that content has to be a big part of your marketing has been around for a long time. But I think this book really answers that question, how, which I haven't seen a lot of books that talk about, you know, how do we do it right? You know, how do you make sure that your content is engaging? How do you make sure that your customers are going to, you know, rally around it and enjoy it? You know, what's it mean to create compelling content? And so that's not a lot of there hasn't been a lot written about that, I don't think, in terms of the stuff that I've seen out there anyway.
Yeah, because content for content's sake is probably not what we're really talking about. So, I mean,
right.
Maybe we start with defining how broad is this idea. Maybe part of the problem is people think of content and they think of the written word only. Do we need to broaden the definition of what content is, or at least give a baseline definition?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the things, you know, I thought long and hard about that. One of the ways it's funny. I think we define it differently every time we talk about it. But, you know, the definition that I like to use is the fact that it's anything that an individual or an organization creates and shares to tell their story, because people do get hung up on the fact that they think content and they think video, and that's like it. And they forget that a big part of content is sharing it as well and creating it on whatever platform is right for you and right for your customers.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's not just about text. It's not just about the written word or about, you know, in the B2B space, white papers, for example. You know, so yeah, it is about blogs, but it's also about, you know, putting video on blogs or a podcast like this one, or, you know, even a compelling FAQ page or the photos or case studies that we call customer success stories. I mean, all that stuff is part of the content, I think, that, as CC says, can help you tell your story and then also you can share all across the web.
I do have to say I am quite proud to have my FUQ put in the book. I have to tell you that.
I know. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's great. Just don't say it phonetically. So.
So you talk about, you know, obviously the title of the book is Rules, and you spend a lot of, I mean, so I think that there are two meanings to that, right? That
right.
It sort of rules our marketing now, but that there are actual rules, or maybe the softer version, guidelines, you know, for how you might do this stuff. So, you know, you think in terms of creating content, you think, oh no, it's just me being creative, but you're going to suggest there actually is a structure and a process and a right way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that process is going to vary depending on your needs and the goals of your content and so on. But yeah, it is kind of a play on words there. You know, it's the content rules, like, you know, a set of guidelines, or we call them sort of bumpers on a bowling lane to help you conceptualize your content and think about, you know, how you should approach it. But it's also content rules in the sense of, you know, throwing up the horns, as Cece can do so well and I do pitifully. But So it is talking about how, you know, content really should be an increasingly big part of your marketing. It really should be a big cornerstone of your marketing. But also, yeah, that there are, we call them rules. I mean, truly, like you suggested, they're really more guidelines. You know, just things to think about as you're developing your content strategy and as you're, you know, developing the content itself.
Yeah, and I guess since you mentioned the word strategy here, that was really where I was going next. One of the mm-hmm. when I talk about strategy and I talk about content, I mean, it really it's been hard for me to at least get this concept across to people until I started embracing this word that you guys use throughout the book. Think in terms of like a publisher. Mm-hmm. And I think, boy, all of a sudden that starts to make sense, at least because then you start thinking the editorial calendar, the themes, the body of work. And I think that maybe tell me, kind of frame that idea of thinking like a publisher if I'm a business owner.
Well, I think, and it's funny because that whenever we say that, that scares people too. You know, it's one of those, well, I don't have a printing press and I'm not, you know, people don't think of it as the fact that, you know, the internet gives everybody an online platform where they can create content and publish content. And, you know, we do talk about strategy and being a publisher, the fact that, you know, look out, think long term, think about, you know, well, what am I going to publish next week, next month, tomorrow for that matter. And once you start thinking content strategy to, you know, events you've got going on or product launches or specials or holidays and all those, start laying it out and looking at it, and you think from the mentality of a publisher of what am I going to create around this date or this time or this event, and it changes. It's true no matter if you're, you know, the corner drugstore or you're, you know, some, you know, musician or you're a huge international brand. The mentality at the end of the day is exactly the same thing, and it does take a little shifting and a whole lot of cultural change sometime for people to really embrace the publisher. And I think it's one of the reasons why we made that our content one, because you have to get that one. But if you don't get that one, everything else is going to be lost on you.
Right. And just to add to that, I mean, I think the other way to think about it is that if the word publishing is kind of overwhelming or it doesn't really connect with what you do in your business, is to think about running your online presence or your website like a magazine, right? I mean, think about creating this kind of recurring kinds of content that's really going to engage people. And I think when you think about, you know, more about magazines, which everybody knows, they're tactile, everybody's familiar with, versus publisher, which is sort of this amorphous thing that, you know, does conjure up printing presses and the like. Makes it a little bit more accessible.
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial. Another concept that I find coming in, and it's a good one, it's one I've talked about for years, is this idea of storytelling, and certainly content and storytelling go very, very well together. I think it's a great concept in marketing, but I want to throw another thing that I'm seeing happening, and it's this idea of, because everyone's a publisher, including our clients and our prospects, mm-hmm. This idea of story building or story creating or co-creating seems to be a pretty important element, so that, you know, we're not in charge of the story completely anymore. And that frightens people as well. But I wonder if you could talk about how maybe that sort of plays into your content rules or your content how to.
Wow, you want to talk about a scary situation? I mean, that definitely freaks out a lot of clients. I mean, I know, in my previous life, did a lot of that type of marketing for clients, where the key part was allowing people to take the social objects that the brand created, then take it and tell their own story with it. And that was kind of the marketing approach. It's a whole different mindset if you're going to go in that direction. But even something as simple as, I know we talk about it in the book, is, you know, myfordstory.com. I mean, Ford's done a really good job where they encourage people to tell their own stories about the car, both good and bad, any of their vehicles. And they, you know, they come back and they publish it on the web and they share it. And there's other brands doing it too. But I know that's one that we talk about in the book that, has really allowed people to, you know, tell the brand story on their own. And that, you know, they've really embraced that better than a lot of brands have.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, my take on that, I mean, I love that word story building. I might actually just rip that off for the second version of this book. And
Well, I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did as well. So don't worry about it from somebody else.
Right. Well, in the spirit of generosity. But no, I love that concept. And I think there are less scary ways to think about doing that. For example, there's a company called Footloose. I met their CMO at an event in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago. And I like the way that they approach it. I mean, they're telling the stories of their customers by, I should back up for a second. So what they do is they sell kind of orthopedic shoes, which sounds like this really boring thing if you start thinking about, like, you know, how these shoes are created and so on. But, you know, instead what they do in their marketing is they have their customers write into them with their stories about how much these shoes have improved their lives. And I mean, these are active people, you know, they aren't like geriatric people walking around with, you know, walkers and so on. I mean, their shoes are really helping people, you know, get out and be active again, be athletic, you know, be hiking with their grandchildren or even their children. And those are the stories that they're telling. And so I think that's a great way to kind of, you know, make your products come alive. And that's a way that you can kind of incorporate your customer stories into your own marketing.
Yeah. And I think people then can sort of place themselves in that story because you know, it's somebody like them. We talked about, I mean, one of the things that pushbacks that I get, obviously, and I'm sure you've heard this too, is creating all this content's a lot of work. And I am a big fan of the idea of repurposing, or at least looking at something or a group of somethings and saying, how could I turn this into something else? Mm-hmm. Is that a no-no? I mean, does that break the rules or is that a good approach?
Oh, no. I mean, we love that. We talk about in the book is reimagining your content. So right at the point of inception, just like you're describing there, you know, I mean, you could take this podcast and chunk it up and produce it as a series of blog posts once you got like the transcript, for example. In the book, we use the word reimagine rather than recycle or repurpose because we feel like that kind of conjures up this notion of something that has some life and energy, you know, right from the beginning. Yeah. If you're thinking about, you know, how can I kind of get this message across in various ways and on various platforms.
I like that word better too, because I think the repurpose sort of has a, you know, just let's
yeah.
put the reruns out
right,
there.
Right, exactly. I mean, it sounds like an afterthought, yeah. Right? I mean, reimagine just sounds like, you know, how am I going to take this and think about ways to express it in different file, in different formats and in different ways.
Well, and I have, you know, I really try to school people. I mean, I many times will write a blog post because somebody's asked me to give a presentation next week. And mm-hmm. so in creating the notes for my presentation, I'll say, well, there's a blog post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think you have to somewhat from a practical standpoint, I think you have to start doing that. But I think it's also a way to increase your output.
Well, it's also, and also in the, you know, with budgets being crunched or, you know, you never have enough money to do everything you want to do, that, you know, companies should always be thinking, hey, if we're going to go to this event and videotape it, or we're going to hold this event, what is every way that we can do something creative out of this to get the most out of it? And I think way too often people aren't thinking that way. And it is, it's a time saver, it's a money saver, and it gets you some really good content if you take the time to really think about it whenever, as much as possible.
Right.
Well, and I think it also gives you, if you start looking at this approach of using mixed different mediums,
yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people have told me, hey, you have a new book coming out. If it doesn't come out in audiobook, you can forget me.
Oh, we've been hearing that we've been hearing that nonstop, actually. So many people saying we want the audiobook of the book, and Content Rules isn't out as an audiobook yet. So we're like, hey, yes, we do want an audiobook, please.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So you have some examples of folks that are doing this right. I think quite a few throughout the book, and one chapter that's almost purely kind of case studies. You want to, we're gonna run out of time here, but I'd love it if you'd kind of maybe share one or two of your favorite examples of that you might point people to and say, hey, you want a good model for how to do it? Here's some people that are doing it well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of them in the book. As you say, we have this whole section on content that converts. We call them success stories. And there's some clear takeaways for companies in there. We call them ideas you can steal versus just lessons learned or something boring, you know, because we really feel like we want to give people a sense of, you know, maybe you're not a B2C company, but here are some lessons in the way that they can apply to you.
Right.
But one of my favorite stories in the book is a company called Indium. And I don't know if you know them, John, but they make solder paste. And they're out of Clinton, New York, I think it is. And the reason why I love them as an example is because people always say to me, especially B2B companies, you know, well, I don't have anything to talk about. You know, our products aren't sexy. They're not interesting. We don't know how to tell the stories because we don't have any stories. And I always talk about Indium as a clear example of that because, you know, this company sells solder paste. I mean, yeah. You kind of can't get any more, you know, kind of real world. What do you talk about with solder paste?
Yeah, I could only name three or four companies in that industry.
But they do a great job, you know, really bringing their stories to life. They've got a ton of people blogging for them, and they've done just an amazing job just kind of leveraging the content they're creating. And you know, tons of blogs, tons of, you know, content category experts out there in terms of solder paste. And, you know, I always say if this company can blog about solder paste, you can blog about anything.
Yeah, then stop whining.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And I also, belly aching.
One of the other ones that I really enjoy too is this organization called Pink Stinks, and what they're all about is setting, you know, real role models for girls. And this was an organization started in the UK by two girls, you know, no budget, purely started on a passion, and they started a blog and Facebook, and they started, you know, videos, and they've been doing all these huge campaigns with no budget, just pure passion and wanting to get the word out about them. And I just think it's a, you know, it's another good example of how, you know, they had an idea and they went for it. And it wasn't like they had, people are always like, well, content costs a lot of money. And, you know, I always argue it costs a lot more time than anything else. And these girls have shown that they're doing, you know, you can do it if you're dedicated to it and you have a clear plan. And the Pink Stinks obviously does.
Right.
Well, and there is a book site for content rules, and it's just contentrulesbook.com. And I know you guys, in the spirit of good content creation, have some goodies there as well, right?
We do. And we've also been, the marketing for the book was done, but, you know, eating our own dog food, creating content to put up there. And we're really hoping that as people read the book and put some of the stuff into practice, I know we're really hoping to put up more success stories of people who have done content and done content right. So I know we're going to keep putting up stuff out there beyond the book. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Great. So, Anne, Cece, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure we will talk again soon. And for those of you listening, Content Rules is really your playbook, your how-to. You know, we can no longer talk about whether or not it's when, if, or it is when you're going to start doing this. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.